Blog Talk Radio.
Hi.
I don't hear you, Andrew. I thought you made it already. Oh, Lord. I'm here. Hello? Shit. Dial the number. This is the 714 thing. You know which number I'm talking about? 06. Andrea, towered. I don't know what happened. Andrea, I'm here. I can't hear you. I don't know if you want to call me right back. Hello? Andrea?
She's not there. Weren't there two numbers?
Yeah.
So why don't we call the other number?
Call the other one. That's her personal number. Give me the other number. No, the other number.
All right, so we're going to let Howard try to call in one more time because he's having some technical difficulties. I'm sorry for my listeners. Anyway, Howard is a filmmaker and a U.S. Navy veteran. He produced and wrote a film called 22 a Day, No Way. And his film is a very powerful call to action to very emotional, actually. It's a call to action to slow down veteran suicide, which is happening at the very alarming rate of 22 American veterans a day are committing suicide. That totals about 8,000 veterans per year. That's really just unacceptable. All right, I have Howard again. Let me try and pick him up. Okay,
I'm
Howard,
here,
are
here.
You?
Can you hear me?
Okay, yes, I can, Howard. Do you hear me?
Yeah, I don't know what happened. We got cut off, but okay,
okay,
I'm back.
All right, not to worry. You're back, and I'm just doing my intro, so just sit tight if you would. All right, so
okay.
As I said,
we got cut,
I never...
we got cut off, though. It hung up on me.
Okay, no worries. You're back.
All right.
So I met Howard at the Garden State Film Festival, and if you've listened to Jersey Coastal Live before, and I hope that you've noticed that I do have a special interest in things having to do with veterans and post-traumatic stress disorder, because I was married to a Vietnam veteran who suffered greatly. And so it's a cause that's near and dear to my heart. So when I met Howard just very accidentally at the Garden State Film Festival, in fact, I had really just arrived, sat down to watch a movie, and a gentleman came up to me and he was handing out cards saying, "I hope you'll stay and watch my movie." And, of course, it turned out that that was Howard, and so I knew that I was going to have him on Jersey Coastal Live. So, Howard, thank you for being with me today. I'm really very pleased that you're here.
Thank you.
So the first thing I want to say to you is, of course, congratulations for having your film as part of the Garden State Film Festival.
Thank you again,
and,
of course.
Yeah. And so how was that experience for you to be in a film festival?
It was one of the thrills of my life, but the biggest thrill was it enabled me to slow down the suicide rate for veterans, which, as we know, is not acceptable, which, as we know, is roughly 22 a day.
22 a day, yeah. Well, it's not acceptable. And I think that if your film was able to raise awareness, that was a wonderful thing. A lot of people got to see it, and hopefully some something really wonderful comes out of it. Now, let's just talk a little bit about the film, actually. And what? So, obviously, you're a Navy veteran. You had served in Vietnam. And
right,
thank you for
1968.
Okay, so we all appreciate your service to the country.
Thank
now,
you.
When did you come to realize that there were problems, such serious suicide problems among veterans?
Well, I'm embarrassed to say it, but I found out a lot of veterans also don't realize how bad it is. And we all know there's suicide, but once I read an article about a female, Jamie Brunette, who was a captain in the Air Force in Afghanistan, and she committed suicide. And in the article, it discussed the 22 a day. And I said to myself, this is not acceptable. And starting right now, I'm going to do something about it. And every journey starts with one step. And I said, as of right now, I'm stepping.
So what made you step to do a film? Where'd that come from?
Well, I thought about how could I possibly get the word out, and everybody goes on YouTube to get their word out. So I said, you know what? I'm going to make a video. I have zero experience. The only thing I have in my favor for a video is I do have the gift of gab, and I do have an ability to write. My whole family has an ability to write. So
okay.
I need my writing ability and my aggressiveness and my talking abilities, and I put it together.
Mm-hmm. How did you get started on everything? So you decide to do a film. So how did you get started on it? What was your how did you get
started? I started out by writing random thoughts about what I wanted in the video. I saw the thing for Abe Lincoln, which is in my video, the quote from him, which was on television. As soon as I saw that, to care for him who shall have borne the battle, and for his widow and orphan, these responsibilities are for our citizens. I said, that's in the video. And I started making about 2,000 phone calls. I called up the New Jersey Film Festival. I called up Brookdale College, Monmouth College. I called up film studios. And I asked if somebody would help me for free. I wasn't looking to spend money because I felt my cause, I should not have to spend money. And I finally came across Phil Falcone from Brookdale College by his name, which is my co-producer, who did a movie called Joe's War, which I'd like everybody to watch. And Phil provided me with cameramen, editors, his expertise, a little bit of directorship. And we did a lot of, he spent countless man hours with me, countless man hours. And he told me, though, that it was always my baby, right? Sometimes we wouldn't agree on what to do. But he said, Howard, this is your baby. I'm going to do what you want. And that's what we did.
It took three months,
by the way, from start to finish.
Three months to do it? Okay. That's not too bad. So I do want to mention that last year at the Garden State Film Festival, I did have the good fortune to also meet Phil Falcone. I hope he's listening today, and if you are, shout out to you, Phil. So Phil did a film called Joe's War, and I got to interview him last year. And you see, it's just through one of those strange things. When I was watching Howard's film, that I saw Phil's name in the credits. So after my interview today with Howard, I'll put up a link to Joe's War for people who want to find out more about that. So it's a small world, isn't it, Howard?
Oh, yeah. I've had a lot of coincidences happen, a lot of them.
Mm-hmm. So you wrote the script, and I guess – so that was – obviously you fine-tuned all of your thoughts into a cohesive script. And that must
have could
have
been better,
a bit of time.
But I put so many man hours into it. Like, Phil wanted me to do my script by heart. And I said, I'll do my best. I'm not an actor. I don't have a great memory. And I would be sitting in red lights reading my script. The last thing I did before I went to bed was read the script. Then I had to decide how to act because I'm not an actor. I didn't know if I should be soft, or I should be hard, I should be aggressive, I should be mad, or I should be upset. I didn't know which way to go, so I went with the soft approach as far as my mannerism. And every single thing was thought over meticulously. I just I gave up countless man hours for the project, countless man hours, and it's still going on, of course. I thought once I did the film that I was sort of done, but it's actually the beginning, because without getting the word out, the film does nothing.
Right, the film is just the starting
point. Unfortunately, I don't have a cat and a dog in the video, so it's being very tough to make it go viral. But with the support of your internet followers, it's 22 a day, no way on YouTube. 22 a day, no way on YouTube. Send that link to your congressman every week. That's what this is all about. By the way, my video is different than most. Not all. I support all videos that help veterans. But most of the videos are awareness videos, as you said.
Yes.
Mine's not an awareness video. Mine's a call to action.
A call to action.
There's been enough talk. There's been enough talk. Let's do it. The government knows what to do. They know how to do it now. We've done a million studies. We don't need any more studies. We've got to supply the money. We need 24,000 more psychologists. That's all, 24,000. Well, you know what we should do? Then hire them. And as far as I'm concerned, I got drafted in 68 for Vietnam. If we have to draft psychologists to protect our veterans, that would be the only 2% of the country are veterans. But only 2% of the country is protecting all of us. And without us, there's no radio, there's no iPads, there's no beach, there's no schools. You know, a lot of people tell me they're too busy to help me. Well, without me and without my fellow vets, you got nothing. We'd be in slave camps if we were alive.
Well, you're right. You're right about that. And the more that I've interviewed veterans and people who are advocating for veterans, you're right. There is a very small percentage of the population taking care of a very large percentage of the population, and veterans are very underserved. And it is inexcusable. It really is. I mean, to think that 8,000 teenagers a day were dying from suicide, something tells me we would act a lot swifter than 8,000 veterans a day. That's just my opinion.
I say something very similar to that. What I said in one of my TV interviews is if the VA was like U.S. Steel or General Motors, and one of those companies had 22 employees a day dying,
yeah,
shut them down in 2 seconds. So why is a U.S. American citizen, my fellow citizens, why are we allowing our government to allow our veterans to die? We don't have any problems going over them, sending us over there. No problems with that. But when we come home, like when I came back from Vietnam, there was nothing. They gave me my check and they said, have a nice day. They didn't tell me about benefits. They didn't tell me about post-traumatic stress. By the way, a lot of people ask me, when did post-traumatic stress? A lot of people think it started with Vietnam. It started when the first man threw a rock at the other man. That's when it started. My friend Charlie, who's a World War II decorated veteran, Purple Heart, he has been having nightmares since World War II. Every night. He's down to two nights.
Back then, we weren't calling it post-traumatic stress disorder. It was maybe called shell shock. Something like that.
Same.
We didn't
have it.
Yeah, of course. It's been around for a very long time. And I sad to say, as long as we keep making wars on each other, it'll be around that much longer. So can you, talk a little bit about some of the problems that veterans are facing? What are some of the obstacles that stop people from getting help?
Well, The VA, as I said in my video, is overloaded. That's part of the problem. I get all my health care from the VA. I'm not 100% unhappy, but I'm certainly not 100% happy. I've been waiting over 6 months for a swallowing test. Over 6 months. It's not acceptable, They're finally going to let me see a private doctor. Well, they don't have the machine. The machine that I need for my swallowing test, they don't have it at the VA hospital in East Orange, which is my main hospital. Then they call the Bronx and the Brooklyn who have the machines, but the machines are broken. Then they say we found a place in Manhattan. Well, there's a law that I don't have to travel more than 40 miles to see a doctor. If it's 40 miles or more, I'm allowed to go out of the system. It's supposed to be a 10-day thing. I've been waiting over 6 months. It's a crime.
That is a crime.
A lot of the problems that veterans are having, I'll tell you some of the problems that veterans have, and a lot of these problems lead to the suicide. They lead to suicide. I just had another friend of mine, Charlie. He was at the VA, and he wasn't at the VA. He's paying for, a lot of veterans are paying for insurance because they're tired of the VA. They're just tired of the lack. You know, you might sit there for 2 or 3 hours waiting to see the doctor. You know, now you might say, well, that happens to us too. Well, if you're a veteran and you have PTSD, a lot of veterans with PTSD can't sit down for 2 or 3 hours.
Yes.
A lot of veterans, if you're 100% disabled, that means you don't pay for anything if you're 100%. But if you need a drug that the VA can't give you generic, because the VA loves to give generics, of course. But if they don't have a generic equivalent, they pay you too bad. You got to go pay for it yourself. This is a veteran that's 100% disabled. Pay for it yourself. So, you know, the waiting list, the homelessness, the waiting to see the doctors. Some of the psychologists at the VA are good, and then you got the bad ones. Some of the psychologists at the VA will play with the computer while you're talking to them instead of looking in the eye.
Yeah. You know, even in out of the VA system, there's good doctors and there's bad doctors. But I have heard it suggested that if all members of Congress for their health care had to go to VA hospitals, the system would be cleaned up really quickly.
Yeah. I mean, there's veterans committing suicide in VA facilities. It had been Philadelphia about a month and a half ago. A veteran was waiting to see a shrink. And from what I understand, he just got tired of waiting and went on the top floor and jumped and killed himself. It sounds rough, but when people tell me, oh, you talk a little rough, well, what is more rough than suicide?
It is rough. It is rough.
There's nothing more rough. I just tell it how it is. You know, if you can't handle it, then that's, I'm too bad for you. You know, I've got brothers. While we were talking, audience, I want you to understand something. While we were speaking, one of my brothers or sisters is putting a gun to his head right now. Pulling his head off. I know this
Part
is rough, but that's what's going on. Every 65 minutes, an average, the guy's blowing his head off. And with my video, maybe I can slow it down some. Maybe I can get Congress to act, but I want your audience every week to send me my video, 22 a day, no way to your congressman until they stop this or slow it down. Or just they got to help us out. They can't, you know, they just spent millions of dollars on the boardwalk in Long Branch, and I complained about it. I said, you're spending $24 million on the boardwalk, but I got 200,000 veterans sleeping in the street tonight that are thinking of suicide. You know, I just thought the waste in our government. You know, and the stuff with the Syrians coming over and we give them housing, I don't think so. I thought of a cartoon. Let's make a cartoon where you have a Syrian standing outside his home with his family all smiling and there's a veteran sleeping in the gutter. Until you get every veteran off the street, you don't bring anybody into my country, not that I fought for.
Well, I can't say that I blame you. Many, many, many people feel exactly as you do, and obviously it's an American tragedy how veterans are treated. But can you say
it's a national tragedy?
Is anything improving for veterans?
I cannot tell you that it's not getting better, but there was an article in the Asbury Park Press a couple of months ago. Congress just approved, and I'm sure it's going to be millions, to do a study on the effects of long-term combat on veterans. Well, ask me. It messes you up. You got to do a study. You got a guy that's fighting in Afghanistan for a month versus a guy that's fighting in Afghanistan for 2 years, and you don't think you need to do a study on this and waste more money? And
all
by
right,
the way, don't give any money
crazy.
To the wounded warriors.
Why is that?
It's been proved. Well, there's 65% of the money given to the wounded warriors has been used for parties. They just got rid of the two top executives from the Wounded Warriors. They had a party where they had horses in the party. They were saying, don't give any more money to the Wounded Warriors, folks. Just any charity you're going to give money to, please check them out first to make sure they're legit. There's too many of these charities are putting the money in their pocket.
Do you have a suggested charity for veterans that you feel would is worthy?
I believe in Gary Sinise's organization. Gary Sinise donates a lot of money. He does several concerts every year. He donates all the money from the concerts to the veterans. The Vietnam vets are good. The disabled vets are good. But you go, before you give money out, you got to check them out. That's what you have to do, check them out.
Well, naturally, yes, and naturally that's true in any time you give money to a charity. You have to make sure that the lion's share of the money is actually going to the cause. So, Howard, I do want to ask you about something. You had sent me a link to something called the Multidisciplinary Association for Psychedelic Studies, or MAPS.
Right, MAPS. Right.
Yeah, as a potential treatment for post-traumatic stress disorder. So I did some reading on it. That looks pretty compelling. Part of the idea here is that the marijuana, smoking or vaporizing marijuana, can help reduce PTSD symptoms in veterans with chronic, I guess they would call it treatment resistance stress.
It has a known fact.
Mm-hmm.
It is a known fact, and Israel, the state of Israel, country of Israel, is doing more studies on marijuana than anybody else. I know this is sensitive for a lot of people, but the two biggest killing drugs in our country is booze and cigarettes, and it's legal for some reason. They say it gives you cancer, but it's legal. I am telling you that many veterans, the only thing that really helps them is marijuana. That's the only thing that helps them. It relieves the tensions. It just makes them feel at ease. And it's a crime that any veteran should not be allowed to smoke marijuana whenever he wants. They don't want to take the opiate. The psychiatrist in the VA, they push those pills like crazy. It's basically heroin. They're opiates. You know?
But the difference is that those are legal. Unfortunately, those are legal, and pot isn't.
Yeah. So you can take something that is proven to harm you and become extremely addictive versus something that's mellow, that's given to us by God. It's a natural product, but it's a proven, known fact. I've talked to countless veterans because of my project, and they swear by marijuana. They said it's the only thing that helps them, and a lot of them don't want to take pills. So, let us have whatever we need or want. Don't dictate. We're big boys, you know? We served our country.
It is pretty amazing that they would prescribe addictive drugs. Maybe it's not amazing. I mean, this is just the state of medicine in this country, that we would prescribe addictive drugs rather than...
Well, it's a horrible thing to say, but believe me when I tell you, if you don't think these drug companies... have slipped a few dollars to some of these psychiatrists to push their pills, I'm telling you they have. I don't think they have. I know they have. I know it goes on in the real world. I've also talked to a psychologist that told me he knows a psychologist in the VA, where they're told they try not to give you benefits. They don't want us to have benefits. They will go out of their way. It typically takes a veteran 20 years to become 100% disabled. 20 years. Keeping in mind that they have these problems the whole 20 years.
Yeah.
I've got a fellow veteran that walks around his house every 2 hours. He's not the only one, if you're listening. You're not the only one. But every night, he goes outside his house for roughly every 2 hours. He gets out and he walks around his perimeter of his house with a gun in his hand looking for the enemy. This is not unusual. There's veterans that they could hear a car backfire in the street, hit the ground, and start crawling, literally start crawling for fear of their life. And people don't know what we're going through. Nightmares every night, tinnitus, so I always say the word wrong, the ringing in the ears, you know, from the bombs going off and shooting a gun. You know, it drives you crazy. I've had ringing in my ears for years, but I didn't know what was going on. I've only been in the VA system using the health insurance benefits for 5 years. So when I used to have the nightmares and the ringing in the ears, I didn't know what was going on because nobody told me what was going on. I didn't know if I was crazy or I was hearing things with the ringing in the ears, but then it would go away, and I'm thinking, oh, okay, it's gone. Maybe I didn't even hear. I didn't even know if I was hearing something. I just thought I was hearing something. You know,
Howard, now that you've done this movie and you've gone through the whole process, do you feel that this has whet your appetite to do something else, to do another film, or to, I don't know, to do another project for veterans?
Well, I might have said this, but I sort of thought the project was sort of ended when I did the video.
Oh,
but no,
yes,
I did say
not,
it. But
yes.
No, this unfortunately will probably be the only project that I will do, because it doesn't seem to end. Until I can make a massive dent in the suicide rate, I think I'm going to keep plugging away. Every day I try to hand out at least 22 cards for my video. Even on the way home, I knew I was under pressure to get home for the radio show, but I said, I'm going to give out 22 quick cards. And, I mean, I have the ability, obviously, to do another movie. I'll tell you the truth, I have a war hero, Tibor Rubin. He's a Korean war hero. I would love to do a movie on this guy. He was in a concentration camp as a Jew in Germany, got liberated by the Americans, came to America, fought in Korea, got the Congressional Medal of Honor about 50 years after Korea, because they didn't give Congressional Medal of Honors to Jews and Mexicans. But this guy was an all-time war hero. Tibor Rubin, go on the computer. Nobody liked this guy. I mean, he kept about 40 guys alive in the concentration camps.
Well, he sounds like he's certainly worthy of a movie.
Oh,
so
he would be the all-time war movie.
So obviously you're still spending some time promoting 22 A Day, No Way, and that's probably going to keep you busy.
Yeah, I just had another 1,000 cards made up yesterday from Staples. They donated 500 cards to me.
Very good.
Well, I got 1,500 cards to pass out. I don't go anywhere, by the way. If you're in front of me, and especially if you have a cell phone in your hand, it's almost a magnet to me. I got to walk up to you and give you my video.
No, I think it's a great idea.
Most people think that I have a couple of jerks. You know, I do whatever I got to do to get the word out. And I develop contacts, you know. By the way, this maps thing, people, you can go on the computer and check out maps. He's using the drug ecstasy to slow down PTSD, but the drug ecstasy was originally introduced as a therapy drug, not as a drug to party. But this guy has an 87% success rate curing PTSD. Well, there's no cure. By the way, folks, there is no cure for PTSD. It can kind of get in the back of your brain where you sort of forget about it and you don't have your nightmares anymore. But
and I think that's what most people are hoping for.
70% of the veterans committed suicide are 50 years and older, and the reason why is because Vietnam veterans, like myself, once they're out of work, a lot of veterans bury themselves at work. But when they go home and they retire, they start thinking. And all of a sudden it comes back.
That's right.
So there is no cure. You can make it better. You can kind of make it rest aside a little bit. By the way, there's also pillows for people with the tendonitis that has speakers in it that will help you with your PTSD.
Now, Howard, we are actually getting close to being out of time, but I want to just remind everyone that the call to action from 22 A Day, No Way, is to keep sending it to the president and our congressmen.
And your Congress.
You know, basically every day until something happens. I will be putting
well,
up
once
a
week,
blog
and by
entry.
The way, if you people could send out letters, a letter would be even more would be much better. If anybody wants, because what I understand what Congress does, well, what the VA does with the email, they just put it off to the side. You know,
right,
so
well,
if you could squeak out an occasional letter, that would be great.
I'm going to put a link up so that everybody knows what to do and where to go and how to see the film. And it's worthwhile for every single person to take a look at this and pass it on to everyone. Almost everyone out there, you're either a veteran or you know someone who is a veteran. So we are just about out of time, and I want to say a very sincere thank you to Howard Cooker, who was my guest today, part two of my filmmaker series based on the Garden State Film Festival. All right, everyone. Howard, thank you for being with me today.
And God bless America, and I love our country.
Yes, 30 minutes can change your life, so please keep listening to Jersey Coastal Live. Till next time, I'm Andrea Tarr. Thank you all for listening today, and thank you very much, Howard, for being part of my show. Goodbye,
thank
everyone.
Thank you, Helen, for helping veterans.
All righty. Bye, Howard.
Bye-bye.